Church, if you'd like to go. This morning, we have the privilege of hearing from Brother Eddie. He is our missions partner in Ghana, and so he's going to be preaching to us today. And so if you want to get your Bible out and get ready to hear from God's Word, because God is going to speak to this man, and we're so thankful for him. So I'm going to pray for him, and then we're going to jump into his message today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Brother Eddie and the work he's doing in Ghana. I pray that you would just uniquely anoint him to bring the Word this morning, speak through the Holy Spirit and through your Word, Lord, and let it sanctify us, let it grow us, and help us to become more like your Son, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It's so good to be in the presence of the Lord, and it is so good to see all of you in the presence of the Lord. It is also good to know that we are still flying in the air as far as the Easter celebration is concerned. We are still celebrating the Easter. Suggests 1 week when we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ about 2,000 plus years ago. And I believe that you are part and parcel of this celebration. The question I want you to put in your mind is, after the Easter what? After the Easter celebration what? Just think about it. And let us go through some few scriptures to serve as the background of this message this morning. Number one is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If it can be put on the screen for us, I will be glad. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The scripture reads from the NIV, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Matthew 28. We know the famous scripture verses. And we look at verses 18, 19, and 20. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Matthew 4:19. And it reads, Jesus is speaking here, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then the last scripture is in Luke 22:35. And let's add 36 and 37 together. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is written its fulfillment." Amen. Think about this. This morning I would like to be very slow in order to remind us of the mandate of the church. And if I talk about the church, I'm talking about you, and I'm talking about the entire congregation. You as an individual, and then we as congregation. We're talking about the church. And of course, we add infrastructure to it. Let's just run through the scripture a little. God began creation with one man. Then they became two. Then they started increasing. Till you go to Revelation and you have multitude of people from all nations worshiping God. What really happened? If they were not in missions. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28 speaks to us. That was where missions was first defined. And not in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Increase and multiply. Increase and multiply. That is the mandate that we were given. Multiply what? Multiply ourselves. And who are we? People created in the image of God. Multiply my image in people who do not have my image, or whose image has been marred by Satan and sin. Multiply. And so it is still the same, the mission mandate. In Africa, when a woman does not give birth, they have a special treatment for that woman, which is not normal. And when that woman dies, she is buried in disgrace. Something that the law enforcement agencies and the lawyers are trying to fight against to normalize it. But in the entrenched rural areas, that still persists. Why? Because they believe that a woman must give birth. The church in missions is a church that is pregnant, ready to give birth. The church in missions, any church for that matter, Methodist, Roman, Baptist, Voice of Truth, the church in missions is a church that is pregnant, ready to give birth. Very soon, Voice of Truth will be 21 years. And we will celebrate this number of years of our existence. But compared to the title that we have this morning, the church in missions, will we be bold enough to celebrate these 21 years of ministry? I define the church, but now let me go to the missions. And I think we have it right there. Reaching out to ethnic what? Groups. Is it on the screen? It will soon be on the screen. Sending out people to a specific geographical area with the ultimate mission to reach people's group, ethnic groups. And then supporting them to this vision that God has for them. And the vision is becoming like God, bearing the image of God. Supporting them till this vision is realized. That is the purpose, the essence of the existence of any local church. You exist to engage yourself in missions, trying to allow the vision of God to reach every ethnic group. And supporting such groups to have this vision realized. In other words, sending people to a specific geographical area with the express purpose of planting a church and supporting this church till they become self-governing, self-propagating, and self-financing. That is missions for you. God sending you to a specific geographical area. When we talk about geographical area, we're talking about the ethnic group. With the express purpose of planting a church among them. Supporting them till they become self-governing, self-propagating, and self-financing. That is the mandate of Voice of Truth. That is the mandate of every church where Christ is the head. If that is the case, then the church exists. The mission of this church is about her people. Who are these people? They are the church members and then the community people. The church in mission is the church about the people, the members of the church, and then the community people. Any church in any local community must have a target audience, people that the church is ready to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. For some, their target might be the middle class people. For some, the rich people. For some, the downtrodden. For some, the homeless. So for some, those who are incarcerated. But you must have a target audience. The church exists. Having a target audience of reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Voice of Truth. Who is our target audience? 21 years of existence, when I began with you, where is our target audience? Who are they? Where can we easily locate them and reach out to them day in and day out, pounding them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and making sure that they are discipled so that they become self-propagating, self-governing, and self-financing. It's very sad that nowadays missions has been defined as relief programs. It's very sad. It is important for us to locate our target audience. It's very much important. Let Voice of Truth get together and define who their target audience is, and begin to reach out to them. For our families, they may be our children first, because we need to start in Jerusalem. For our families, it may be our grandchildren. Remember, he began with Adam, then Eve, then Cain and Abel, then onward and onward the nation Israel. Then we had the church, and now we have the church everywhere in the world. And just as we prayed before preaching, one day we will all gather around the throne of the living God. And you have people from different nations all worshiping God, because some church or some churches made it an important issue to reach out in missions, in reaching out to these people. There are thousands of people, millions of people throughout the whole world who are aching, who are suffering. Not suffering because of lack of clothing, lack of food, or whatever it is like that, but they are suffering because they do not have the information that can set them free. Now go to the website, and then you can click on Tokrisi System in Ghana, TROKOSITI. Just click on it, and you will see what I'm talking about. We have people who, from birth, and because of poverty. A mother and a father will take a child to this fetish priest and give us food and keep this child until the child is 18. And if you want to marry this child, then of course you can continue to do so. So these children are under this Tokrisi system, under this priesthood, and the priest can do anything with them, be it child abuse or whatever it is like that. We took time and we got to this Tokrisi system, and it was a network of complexities, protocols before you can get to a child. We have this child slavery everywhere in the world, and they need only the goodness of Jesus to set them free. Someone made you to be free today. Someone prayed. Someone perhaps gave his life before you became a Christian. You know the story of those who were translating the scriptures, how some of them had to be martyred. Some of them had to be burnt on the tree to get a scripture to you. Others suffered because they made you their target to get to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who is your target? Voice of Truth, who are your target audiences? It's important. There will be payday someday. I gave my life for you. What have you given for me? Many of us are playing the church, and we have even made a church a business center, a fellowship sometimes, a social gathering. We don't exist for that. No. It is a business center where each and every day we think about reaching out to the lost for Christ. The people. Well, I'm weak. I can't do that. You can. Because you can witness on your knees in prayer. Well, I can't see, so I can read. You can witness with your tongue. You can witness. You can reach out to the people. Nations are suffering. We read it. The pastor made us to read it in Romans chapter 8. We are groaning, but groaning for what? Groaning for deliverance from the powers of darkness, from falsehood. Deliverance from material wealth, which is crumbling us from knowing and seeing the power of Jesus. All of us are looking for that. The church in missions will always labor and cry for the delivering of their children. Look at a woman who is going to give birth. Doesn't she go through travailing until she delivers the baby? The church must go through. That is why the Lord Jesus compared us to a woman. So we are his wife, bride. So we have to do all those things. Think about the people. Go to the pastor. Discuss with him. Let there be a church business. How can we build our church? How can we reach out there? How can we? And let me tell you something. Whilst we are comfortably worshiping God, the devil and his congregation are in missions. The devil and his congregation, they are in missions. If you are not going for them, they are going for them. If you are not going for them, they are going for them. That's what is happening. That is what is happening. They are even going for them to the extent that they even come to the church to pick them from the church and take them to their camps. Because the church is not in missions thinking about the people. Can you imagine? If the Bible says that the salvation of one soul, what happens in heaven? The salvation of one soul, what really happens in heaven? So how many of us here? About 100 or 200. Suppose each and every Sunday, one brings one. Suppose each and every one of us will just enter into covenant and say that each one bring one. Each one bring one. Each one bring one. Voice of Truth members, each one bring one. We must be about the business of identifying our target audience, the people. The church in missions is the church that talks about the people. And not only that, but the place. You remember? During the time of Jesus, he will specifically ask the disciples, go to this place, don't come here, go to this place, don't come here, go to this place, don't come here. We just don't jump up and go to any place because we have the right to go there. No, it's a spiritual activity. The prince of the power of darkness reigns, and we must be able to dismantle the strategies before we can get there. So, We are going to celebrate 21 years of our existence. Where have we mapped out to reach as a church? Where have we mapped out as a church? It can be a 1 year goal, it can be a 2 year goal, it can be a 5 year goal. Do you want to go to Dublin? Do you want to go to Garden? Do you want to go to Ellington? Where do you want to go? Let there be a divine located place. Then when we come here, we will talk business. Then we will come here, we will talk about how to give, who to go, and what to be done. How many Roman Catholic churches do we have in the world? How many Baptist churches do we have in the world? How many churches like Word of Truth do you have in the world? If those people did not sit down, read the map, and located the very places that they want to go, and laid it before God, and prayed, and fasted, and God said, go. Didn't Paul experience the same thing? When he wanted to go to a certain place, and that door was locked. And in the night when he was praying, he saw in his dream someone standing and saying, come over to Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia. We have many communities here that are waiting for Voice of Truth to enter and to give them the word of God. That makes coming to church on Sunday meaningful. Because the church is like a gas station. This building is like a gas station. Our gathering is like a gas station. We go to the gas station and then we pump into our tank the gas. Do we stay there? We don't. We move our vehicles and out we go and do business. That's what the church is about. The pastor labors, prepares the sermon received from the Lord and give them to you. It's our duty, after being filled with that gas, we go out there and do business. I asked some few people I've not seen, and they said, oh, we've been doing business. That's well wonderful. Oh, how I pray that anytime I communicate with any of you, we hear a voice of truth. We are in Garden planting a church. We are in Ellington planting a church. We are in Ivy planting the church. We are in these communities planting the church. That is what we are about. So we are about the place of missions, the people of missions, the place of missions. If we do not, we will do things haphazardly. And at the end of the year, we'll look back and we'll see that we've accomplished nothing. Before I planted all those churches, uncountable of them, beginning in 1998, what really happened? I sat down, looked at the map of Ghana, and then looked at the areas where churches have been planted, and mapped out those areas that churches have not been planted along the coast, and prayed, and fasted, and trained team to reach out there with the good news. And today we have several hundreds of churches along the coast. We can do the same thing here because it was done by our forefathers. We can do the same thing here in our generation because it is doable. It is what? Doable. It's doable. I've been in churches where a church business meeting, they almost, entered into blows, fighting each other with words, and sometimes physically standing with squeeze phrases because we're talking about money, how money ought to be used. Some are talking about construction. Some are talking about this. Some are talking about that.
The pastor said it before I preached, that you're not giving to the church, you're not giving to the pastor, you're not giving to anybody, you're giving to the work of the Lord. So my question is, what work? And it should be nothing short of planting a church and making sure that this church is supported to the extent that this church will become self-propagating. If you plant, that church must be helped in such a way that that church also will plant another. It might be self-propagating. It must be self-governing. It must be self-financing. Today, I'm not to speak for long. Just saying to all of us that the time is not on our side. The time is not on our side. The world in vain is telling us that the time is not on our side. No, the time is not on our side. And number two, you cannot witness to the wrong person. And number three, you cannot say that it is a wrong time for us to talk about missions today. It's not in our plan for this year, 2025. Maybe 2026, we think about it. No, time is not on our side. Next time we go out there to do crusade, the Sunday service must be done there, in that place. I have been in areas where I've planted churches, and the Sunday we had only one convert, one person who came. And now the church is a story building. A story building from 1998. It is he who will build his church and not us. It is he who will build his church and not us. Please, let us stop playing social business in the church. And let us be about missions. The church in missions is the church that targets their people as audience. You prepare the church members to invade the community with the word. The church in missions is the church that locates the place. Every year they have a place where they want to venture. The church in missions is the church that always allocates about 60% of their annual income into missions and 40% for the internal things that will be done. That is a church in missions. May God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. We're going to close with worship if the band wants to come up. Let's pray this word over us today that we would be consistent and constantly living on mission. I love what Jesus says whenever he says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he doesn't immediately say to go. That's not his next statement in that verse. It says that you should pray. You should pray that more people would stand up and go and be on the move. And I love this phrase, and we'll probably use this phrase a lot, but kind of to what Pastor Eddie was saying, but let's be a place where people can say that the church has left the building. And we've gone to actively share the gospel with people in our neighborhoods and our families and our communities. So let's pray that we would have that heart as a church. Heavenly Father, thank you for Brother Eddie and everything that he has done for this church over two decades. Thank you for the wisdom he's spoken over us and how he has helped us through different seasons of the life of the church. And Lord God, I pray even now as we respond to this message, Lord, that we would be convicted where maybe we've been passive, where we've spent our lives looking down at the business in front of us and we haven't thought about the souls that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us be bold and brave. Let us pray more for opportunities, Lord, because you are faithful to hear our prayers and you answer those prayers and give us what we ask for, especially when we pray according to your will. And we pray, Lord, that you would, God, I pray that right now a face of someone would be on the mind of each of the believers in this room, Lord, and that we wouldn't be able to forget them until we finally share the gospel with them and tell them the good news of their salvation through Christ alone, Lord. So let us think on this. Let us be convicted of this, Lord God, and let us make your name great in this county and in the communities we live, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen.